everyone. Your designers are here.
I'm Anita from Cedar Hill Farmhouse.
And I'm Yvonne at Stone Gable.
And I'm Kelly with My Soulful Home.
And we have tips and tricks and decorating advice for you today. So let's get started.
Today is episode 58, Secrets to Buying Antiques.
I'm interested. I'm going to be a learner.
Well, this is one of my favorite things to do. So, you know, one of my favorite things to do is to go to Round Top and buy antiques. So,
yes.
Well, even when I think I know a lot of things about a topic, when I talk with you guys, I do learn things each time.
Yeah, me too.
I think absolutely. I'll be a learner too.
Learn things and want to spend money. That's just how it works
exactly. The urge to go acquire
and
something.
And buy things.
Before we get rolling here, let's remind everybody of our fabulous sponsor, Canvas People, canvaspeople.com. The offer is still available to get your free 11 by 14 canvas print of your favorite photos. All you're going to do is pay your shipping. So head over to canvaspeople.com. You're going to enter the code decorating at checkout, and you will receive your free 11 by 14. So definitely take advantage of that.
Yes,
great for graduations or Father's Day. And they have a really quick turnaround. So you should be able to get yours pretty quickly.
And as you said, you're a silly nilly if you don't take advantage of this free offer.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah,
and I don't think we have any silly nilly listeners.
That's right.
Well, okay. So let's get started on buying antiques. And I wanted to say first on buying antiques that there's a prerequisite to what we're going to be discussing today. And that is, I think you really want to know what your decorating style is first and really know the direction you're headed in before you go shopping, not just for antiques, but for anything. And I'm going to reference episode number 2, where we talked about finding your decorating style, because you don't, especially with antiques, because most of this stuff is not returnable. So you don't want to be buying something, coming home, and then going, oh, this doesn't really work with my style. So I want you to really think ahead of time, is this going to work with what I already have in my house? Or I should say the direction I'm going in.
Really good tip, Anita, because you can get lulled into the beauty of so many things, but does it really fit into your home?
Right. Oh, there's so many things. Mm-hmm. We've said this before. There's so many styles we love.
Things.
But sometimes they just don't go with what your style. So keep that
in
mind.
That's exactly right.
So I thought we'd start off.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I thought we'd start off talking about where to find antiques before we get into kind of what to look for, because that's kind of part of it. I know my tip would be, you know, I talk about buying things at thrift stores all the time, but the secret to that is you've got to go to a thrift store that handles consignment items, because the regular thrift stores just really kind of have junk, and usually those things have to be repaired or need a lot of work, or it's hard to find something really nice at a regular thrift store. So if you're going to a thrift store, look for a thrift store that carries consignment items, or if you don't have something like that in your community, I would suggest going to an actual consignment store. I know where I live in Houston, there are many consignment stores. So that's going to be my first tip, would be if you want to shop locally, go to a consignment store.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a great tip. But I must say,
yes,
I've broken that tip rule
okay.
on numerous occasions. Because, you know, sometimes people just cast off things. They just want it out of their house. And so they'll donate it to the Goodwill or other thrift stores that don't necessarily have a consignment policy.
Kelly,
now, for
I'm going to tell you, I think a lot of that has to do with where you are, because I have
Absolutely.
Readers tell me all the time, I go to the thrift store all the time and I find nothing.
Okay.
So I think it may be
another reason to come live with me in Southern California.
Yes, I think that might be kind of where you live.
Yeah,
the weather and great Goodwill stores.
Well, here's the deal where I live. You don't want to, you probably will not find a great antique at a, like a Goodwill, Salvation Army. I think it has to do because people in Lancaster County use their things till they're threadbare. So you and this is
very frugal.
I don't know how to put this without sounding snooty. you need to go to a thrift store in the nicest area of town.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think local. Well, that's kind of what we were saying about Kelly, where she is. Mm-hmm. People have money and they're giving away some very nice things.
And like in DC, I go to visit my daughter a lot. You just can't even believe what you'd find on the sidewalk.
Well, and in my neighborhood, actually, people do on the heavy junk pickup day, the night before. Mm-hmm. You can pick up some pretty nice stuff by the end of the by the road if you don't mind kind of redoing something.
Sure. And hey, that's a great tip. Go to the better end of town where they're, or go to a place like a larger place where it's more mobile and transient, like Washington, D.C.
Yes,
and
that's what I say. You can find gorgeous things there.
Yes.
Right? There's just more people, so there's more chance. And here we have, everybody's sort of the little old lady from Pasadena, and I won't sing that song for you, but you can have it now buzzing around in your head all day. But there are a lot of older homes here, which people don't even really think about in California. But our neighborhood is really old. I mean, you know how old my house is.
Yeah, ours is too.
There are a lot of other older homes. And now, people, you know, someone passes away, God forbid, and then people just don't want or don't see the potential in what was left behind, so they give it away. But just to clarify consignment, if anybody doesn't know, usually a consignment piece is something that the person who's consigning it see some value in it. They want to get some value back. So normally that's an item that might be a little bit more expensive, a little bit more special, and a little more desirable for an antiquer, because they have a relationship with the thrift store. That's how the hospital thrift store that I go to a lot operates.
I want to go to that thrift store.
I know. Yeah. I want to go there with you, too. Mm-hmm.
Remember I was telling you the guild here has a whole room of silver and dishes. Definitely there's some awesome thrift stores.
I feel deprived in that area.
We have
tons of auctions and all kinds of antiques, but they're not, I wouldn't call them like higher end. Yeah. Antiques. Mm-hmm. I'm so into antique chairs because of you two. You've done this to me.
Sorry.
And
because you can't have too many chairs.
No. And I think a Bergère chair would fit so perfectly.
Yes. That would work beautifully.
Yes.
In your style.
And it's a French chair, but
comfy.
Could update it so well. But I'm thinking we're redoing our bedroom and our sitting room right off of it. And I'm thinking, wow, I'm going to look for two Bergère chairs to put in there. It'd be beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
Well, so, just to finish the consignment bit, just to round it out in case anybody doesn't know. So then the person who consigned the item, once it's sold, they would get a portion of the proceeds of the sale. And usually it is on sort of a time frame, a sliding scale. If it's been in there for a month, it's this price. If it's been there 6 weeks, they reduce it a little bit. So that's something you can watch too. And that's what I do at the hospital thrift store, which takes donations and consignment items. So just if you're starting to troll these places like I do, get familiar with how they operate. You know, they have certain tags that are donation. Boom, that's the price. That will be the price until it leaves. If it's a consigned item, they have the date on the tag that it first came in, and then they'll have, it's usually a month to 6 weeks later where they're going to reduce it. Now, if it's too pricey or you're not sure and you think, well, at X price I would buy it, but on Y price I'm not too interested, then you just kind of, sometimes if it's a really item that I really, really have my eye on, I might even put it in my calendar to make sure I go back through. And if it's still there, then you're going to get it at the reduced price.
And that's our consignment places. Because if you like it, you're gambling that somebody else won't like it until the price goes down, because it may be gone.
Mm-hmm. We'll see. And in our consignment store, everything has that same markdown. I think it's every month it goes down. Mm-hmm. And then after a certain point, the price gets chopped. Okay, so another place I want to mention is eBay. And this is really critical. I would actually, if you know what you want to go look for, sometimes we just go out looking, shopping for antiques, and we see something. We don't even know, we didn't even know we needed that silver plated teapot. But, you know, but when you see it, you go, oh, I have to have this. That's right. So sometimes you're going, you know you're looking for something in particular. I recommend starting at eBay for two reasons. One is that's really where I go to get pricing information. In fact, I've been known to, at the thrift store or at the consignment store, be looking something up to see what would this go for on eBay. And that kind of gives me a feel for, am I overpaying for this item? The other reason I like to look on eBay is because it will give me so many more options for whatever it is that I'm looking for. For example, like if you wanted a silver plated water pitcher for flowers, there's very simple ones and very ornate ones. And so if you're looking at one in the store, you might say, well, this is pretty, but is there something I really like better that I could get on eBay? Because, you know, look for whatever, there's going to be the biggest selection of most items is on eBay. So
now,
I think,
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Finish. That's such a good idea. I don't often think of eBay.
Right. So that's where you're, so eBay's going to tell you what styles and colors and whatever that the item's available in and pricing information. So go ahead, Kelly.
Wow.
Well, so do you use eBay as your source over Etsy because you're getting more detailed information, or you just think it is a broader marketplace?
I think it's cheaper.
You think it's cheaper?
I think it's almost always
cheaper. I just like the setup of Etsy, and being a former Etsy owner, you know, I tend to like, I would love to help, you know, other shop owners there. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure there are nice shop owners on eBay too. I just tend to Etsy all the time if I'm doing that. But I'm wondering, you know, maybe that's not the best place to be going.
Well, Etsy, I think Etsy kind of has a more of a boutique feeling to it. And a lot of And some of these people are on both platforms. And a lot of eBay sellers are small businesses. So you would still be supporting a small business. But I prefer eBay because A, I think the prices tend to be better because it's not as frou-frou, and B, I think there's more selection. But I've noticed that just something, it'll be something really, I know I can get something at $10 on eBay or at the thrift store, and I'll go on Etsy and it's $50, and I'm like, yeah, I don't think so. So I'm just saying. Not to say,
in other words, be careful and compare where you
shop.
Well,
I'm just saying compare. Now, listen, there's some gorgeous things on Etsy. I'm not saying don't buy there, but I'm just saying just be conscious. You know, you can be, just look at the pricing.
And if you have an Etsy shop, it's Anita at Cedar Hill Farm.
We love Etsy.
I do buy things on Etsy. But, you know, anyway, just check both places. How about that?
Mm-hmm. That's
good, boy. Good point.
I can feel the emails coming right now.
No, but I love your poise in the heat of the moment. You're like zeroing in on this item at the thrift store. And you're like, wait, let me just check the inventory on eBay.
Is so smart.
It's in my hot little hands while I'm checking, though.
I'm not leaving it out there,
you know.
No, that's a very practical tip. You know, it just don't leave it there and troll the rest of the store and come back around. Like, if you love it, grab it, hold on to
it. It's like Home Goods. If you don't put it in your cart, it's going to be gone.
Yes.
So, So eBay, thrift stores, consignment stores, you can go to antique malls, flea markets, garage sales, you know, Round Top. And then where's the place that you go? Rose Bowl.
Pasadena Rose Bowl.
Oh, right. Yeah. Where's the place you go? Okay. The world famous Rose Bowl flea market.
There you go.
Okay.
And then auctions. I go to Gallery Auctions in Houston. Is a great place for good prices and lots of antique items. So check
there is nothing, although there's nothing like a Lancaster County auction with the Amish and all the other people. I don't even know how to describe it, but it's so much fun. And it's from a bygone era. Uh-huh. And, you know, there people are selling hot dogs and coffee. And so, you can smell the manure on the Amish people's boots.
Right.
And it is a total, total fill up the senses type of an experience.
Right. And a throwback, right.
And you can walk away with, I've never come up with really anything like a fine antique, although some beautiful handmade armoires and cupboards that were made like, you know, maybe 50, 60, 100 years ago. And they're beautiful, but I wouldn't call them, I mean, they're homemade and with beautiful woods, local woods, chestnuts, ashes, things like that. But they are fun. If you've not gone to an antique, gone to those kind of places to search out beautiful antiques and fun antiques, make sure you do.
Well, and I would say if you've never been to an auction, just go. There's so much fun. And I've got to say, there's always, now that for some reason the auctions I go to, there's always dogs sitting in chairs wearing, you know, outfits Emmett would fit right in. I mean, there's always somebody kind of quirky there and fun. The people watching is really wonderful. So
it is. That's the fun part of it.
And people might be intimidated by an auction. I've only been to a couple, but they were sort of what Yvonne is describing. They were way out on the east end of Long Island and much more casual. And because I think people get this sense of an auction.
It's not like Sotheby's.
Right. That it's like, they're going to be, rolling out this, Toulouse-Lautrec. And you're like, gee whiz, that's out of my price range.
Well,
not like that at all.
Well, there's one auction house I had used to go to in Houston, and they moved to a new location. And when I saw there was valet parking, I knew I was in trouble. The prices were not going to be real
that
good.
Was it.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
Anyway, I have a blog post all about antique, tips for buying at an antique auction. I'll put it in the show notes, so you'll get all those good tips on what to do, what not to do, and how to shop there.
Can I just say this? Mm-hmm. My style is pretty traditional, classic. I buy things off of websites like, Pottery Barn, go to Home Goods, that type of thing. But, if you have that style and you're thinking, I don't know about antiques, this show isn't for me. It really is, because if you add that, maybe pair of antique candlesticks, or you were saying like a silver plated pitcher, or some dishes that are really, ironstone, or just something small, like a small chair, that adds so much charm to a traditional classic look.
Oh, it definitely does.
Mm-hmm. And it's so worth looking at antiques for that reason.
Okay, so let's talk about what to look for when you're looking at antiques. So do you have any thoughts on that, Callie? What are you looking for? I mean, what do buyers need to be looking for or aware of?
Oh, okay. So what you want to look for, any imperfections, and it may mean something to you or not, but it's good to know, like if you're looking, say, at a plate or tureen, if you see any hairline cracks or chips or anything like that, to my mind, sometimes that makes the item more precious to me. I like it better when it's got a little bit of life to it, rather than being pristine. But it really depends on your look. But you can also use it, and I'm not saying to sort of like gouge anyone who's selling them, but you can definitely use that sort of information when you're negotiating the price. And as we've talked in another episode, I think that asking, what is the best price? Can you do any better? Is something that's almost expected when you're shopping in this way. So I would definitely take a look. And if you're really looking for an item that you want to be perfect, you don't want to get home and be like, oh my gosh, look, this handle was glued back on. So I would check the piece over really well. Yes. I would check the bottom of the piece to see if there are any markings, because generally if a piece is marked, it has a little bit more value, and sometimes a significantly more value.
And again, you've got your smartphone with you. You can check it while you're there and take a picture of the hallmark, look for something.
And not only marked, something that is numbered.
Yes. Yes.
Can really be worth a lot more.
Yes. Yes. And if there is something, if you're going with just sort of an open mind of what moves you, or what takes your breath away when you're shopping, that's one thing. But if you're going for a specific item, or you collect something and you're going to add to your collection, then definitely do your homework. I would go on and the internet and I would find out everything I could about what I'm looking for and do some comparison shopping online before you go. So then you have a good idea of not only, you know, what is the next piece you'd like to add, but how much you'd be willing to spend for it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so, for example, like some dishes, when I buy some really old French dishes that are kind of very old, I will buy them even if they've got chips on them. But if it's something that's, you know, if it's something just very unique, very hard to find, I have some purple lavender transferware, very hard to find. So I went and got some with some chips here and there. But, you know, if it's, so just be aware of if it's chipped, I'm not saying don't buy it, but just kind of make sure the price is appropriate for that. And then if it's something that's easy to find, then no, I'm not going to buy the chipped thing. I'm going to buy the more pristine version of it. But, you know, I was going to say the older it is, the harder it is to find a particular item in a pristine condition.
Here's another thing. When you're thinking about buying furniture, I think that you should look for something that is fixable, first of all. I mean, that's really important. Yeah, if it's got a wobbly leg or something, make sure that that's, you can fix that with, you know, glue or with a screw or, and you don't want to, you know, you don't want to buy something that it has a big split in it, like on the leg or something. Mm-hmm. Those aren't going to hold up. Also, I think you need to look for just the beautiful lines, you know, that is something that's so attractive that and workmanship that you don't see today. I think that's really important as well.
I think you kind of have to have a feel for what you can repair yourself or if you have someone in place to do the work that needs to be done. I don't, if it's wobbly, I walk away. I don't want to deal with it. I know Kelly, it doesn't mind doing that. So, I mean, just kind of, but if you feel like, oh, I don't know how to do that, I don't want, that makes me nervous, then just don't grab that piece because the worst thing you want to do is buy something and then realize you can't repair it and then it just sits in your garage taking up space.
Yeah, so
I do. I do have some things in my garage taking up space.
Okay. Well,
she says in a whisper.
That's okay. Yeah. Take a number, little chair. I'll get to you at some point. But yeah, I totally agree. I mean, some things, you know. But if it's $5 and you love it, and you say, "Oh, well, I'll try," you know, "I'll try my wood glue, and I'll try my little vise and see if I can get it in there." But I agree. There's no sense buying. You know, buying trouble in a sense, you know, just something where you're going to be disappointed and it's not going to work out. But, you know, I think that the price figures into all of that.
True.
And maybe you end up using that little chair just to put a plant on it and, you know, put a few things around it and make it more of a just
idea.
A decorative vignette or something like that.
Also, yeah. I think when I'm thinking about getting something that maybe needs to be repaired, I just... Make sure you have a person that will repair it and do a good job. And also I look at, do I have somebody who can, now I have a slip coverer and a reupholsterer. So you need
you
to
have
think,
to have
oh,
that.
Do I have somebody who can do those things if you don't want to do them yourself?
And you can paint, and you could paint it. So
yes, absolutely. Yeah. And the other thing is you just need some great sources for fabric as well. When you're thinking about, okay, I have this beautiful Bergère chair, but where am I going to find the fabric that's going to complement it?
That's a good point.
When I send it away to have it slip covered or to have send it away to have it reupholstered.
So now having said all that, when I am shopping, I'm going to tell you what I look for.
Okay.
When I am...
Okay, everybody listen in.
Lean in.
We got to
get
the
your,
good
get
stuff.
Get your pen and pencils and your paper
it's
ready.
It's like we're following you around. I'm at Marburger. I'm behind you. I don't know
stop
you, but
it,
I'm
both
watching
of you.
You.
Stop making fun of me. Okay, so really... I kind of, in a way, throw all that out the window. I shouldn't say throw it out the window, but I mean, I really just look.
All that stuff I just told you is
really forget it. No. No, that's not true. No, I do actually keep all that in mind. But what I'm saying is I'm looking for something that speaks to me. And I do keep all that in mind. I do
Anita,
keep the price
Anita,
in mind.
Anita, buy me.
Oh. Take me home.
Put me at the farm. No, I want to be in Cedar Heights. How about that new mountain house?
Okay.
I love
all
the
right. Oh, boy. Stop it. Somebody put a plug in that one. In that chair. No. So, yeah, no, I mean, I definitely do keep in mind the price, and I keep in mind, is it wobbly or something? But I'm just saying, at the end of the day, I really look to see, is this something that just is, it just kind of makes me so excited to look at it. And so I'm just saying, I might relax something. If I just found like the love of my life and it was a little bit wobbly, maybe I would make an exception in that particular case. I haven't
yet. That would
yet.
Be Kevin.
He's not wobbly.
Oh.
So I'm just saying, yeah, I mean, just
but the love of
guidance.
Your life, yes.
Okay. So what are you looking for, Yvonne?
Well, I'm just like you, I'm looking for something that I just that wows me, that makes me swoon. I like that word, sort of like weaken, literally. Mm-hmm. You do go so sort of breathless and weak in the knees when you see something. That's what I look for. I actually look for things that I don't need a lot of repair. Bob's pretty good. My Bobby's really good at, you know, using a vise, wood glue, putting screws in it. He's really good with things like that. But beyond that, I don't want to deal with it. Like if it's a cane seat and it's broken, I pass that up because I don't.
Well,
no,
interesting that you say that because I actually, I have bought chairs that had a kind of a problem with the cane seat, and I actually cut, I just used my saber saw or jigsaw and just cut a little cover.
You're my hero. You're the chair's hero.
I'm picturing like Anita pulling out the saber from her belt.
So you just cut a little seat for it and then make a little cushion to put on top with a skirt around it.
I would pass that one up.
Right. But see, that's because you know that's something you're not going to deal with.
Yeah, I'm not into that.
Yeah, and, that's fine.
And anything, you know, I don't mind replacing, I don't mind painting it. Actually, that's a plus. Or if I could strip it, and I don't mind the hardware because you can always change that out.
That's true.
So I really look for things that I could upholster with some beautiful fabric. Because you can personalize it then.
Right. So let's talk about the stuff that doesn't bother you, that might be a defect with something you're buying that you don't like. I mean, what?
Tarnish.
Tarnish. Oh, that's a good point because that'll polish off. And sometimes I buy things that are missing some plating in places. I still buy it if I really like the shape of the item.
Oh, yeah. I don't mind the tarnish. I like the tarnish.
Me too.
I pay more for it.
Oh, well, I've got
I think
a stack
they throw
of things
that in
for you, girl.
Free.
Oh, yeah. Crazing, which is all the crackly lines, especially you'll see that on some.
Doesn't bother me either. I think
the white dishes
cool.
or ironstone. It's actually happening, and maybe we'll talk about this someday, in my farmhouse sink.
Really?
Yes. Oh. And then I didn't know that was going to happen, but that's it's not an antique, but it's you know, made like an antique. But I'm just going with it. And I'm finding by doing some research, I'm not the only one, but that's okay because
I didn't have that happen in mine. The crazing doesn't bother me, and then I don't worry about if I don't like the fabric on a chair because 9 times out of 10 I'm going to recover it anyway.
That's exactly.
And then
right.
if it's an item, a piece of furniture, and I don't like the paint color or I don't like the stain color, if the shape of the item, if I love the item otherwise, you know, I slap a coat of paint on there and it's fixed.
It's all about the shape.
Mm-hmm.
Not the shape.
It's the,
not
it's the,
fit. Oh, Anita got that one.
Oh, that's funny.
So cute. Yeah, the bones. If you got good bones, you're coming home with me probably.
That's right. And even if I don't know where I'm going to put it, I don't mind getting something that's that fabulous and finding a home for it, recycling other things out, especially if I get it for a song.
Yeah, because I used to say for myself, 9 times out of 10, I've got a trunk load and maybe I've spent $50, you know, and sometimes I spend $5 and I'm just so happy I have this new little treasure to come home and clean up and find a spot for. And so that's just super fun. It's just a really fun way to shop.
And I have to admit, I have friends who buy very, very high-end antiques. That's not my style. So that's not what I'm interested in. So I don't have the eye to look for, you know, what to look for in something that's going to be thousands and thousands of dollars because it's 300 years old from France.
Right.
I don't have that eye, but I have the eye of saying, oh, the lines in that are so awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, most of our listeners probably would fall, you know, more to my end than probably most of the listeners than somebody who's going out purchasing really, really high end, the real deal that you don't want to touch.
Well, and I'm not a person who really does it for investment either. I mean, if I don't like it, I'm not interested in it. I see some things sometimes and think that's a great deal for that particular item, but I'm not interested in buying it for investment purposes. So if I don't want it in my home, I'm not buying it. And I'm not, and
well,
also
not even investment. Yeah. A lot of my friends buy it because that's what they want to decorate their home with. You know, it's an investment piece.
Oh,
but it's,
okay.
But it's, I wouldn't call that an investment.
Well, I guess we're talking about the pedigree. I don't care about the pedigree.
No, I don't care either.
So, you know,
sometimes
people,
I do.
Yeah. So, sometimes maybe you do. I really don't ever. If I love it and it's in a good price and it has the good lines and all the things that we're talking about, that's enough for me. But some people, you know, they really want to know the pedigree. So you want to know the background, where, you know, who made it? Was this a famous woodworker? Was this a famous ceramicist? And that's just a different way to antique.
Yeah, that's a collector.
That's more of a collector, right? Correct. And you may not even want to use it. You know, that may end up behind glass in somebody's house. Right. Like, I want to be using my stuff all the time.
Yeah, I don't collect that kind of stuff. If it's the kind of stuff that has to be put behind glass, I don't. That's not the stuff I go for. I want stuff that I can use.
So I actually, I want things that I can reupholster, paint, stain, and put my own mark on it without it being costly.
And but
that's
really
what I'm looking for. But something that'll look just really transform an area in my home with a unique style.
So I'm just going to throw this one out there because I've noticed this too in doing a lot of shopping. I'll see people that are really picky. Oh, this has this mark. This is scratched here. This has a dent here. And I'm just going to say this. You know, if you really want it in pristine condition, I mean, maybe antiques aren't for you. I mean, you really need to be comfortable with some dings and knocks and some patina, some tarnish, some this, some that. So, I mean, that's kind of what those of us that love antiques love, all that feeling of age.
Well,
so,
it's not for everyone. It's the personality of the piece.
Yeah. So, I mean, that if you're not comfortable with that, then, you know, you probably should buy new.
Yeah.
Good point. A couple little things here and there make a big difference. It really warms up a house.
I think so, too. I do. Mm-hmm. I love antiques.
So we're all comfortable with patina.
And scratches and bumps and,
and dings.
In our homes, in ourselves, in everything we do. And that's you know, just kind of the way we roll. So I hope you learned some things today. I know I did. And we want you to remember that we are here to help you create a beautiful home. Until next time.
Hey there. If you're loving our podcast like we're loving our podcast, we would love you to rate and review us. Head to iTunes to do that. It's easy and it would mean so much to us. And if you do rate and review us, we're going to enter you to win a fantastic giveaway. The details for the giveaway are in the show notes for this episode, and you can find the show notes at decoratingtipsandtricks.com.